Welcome to Champion Center Podcast. We believe that by continued listening, you can grow relationally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Listen in now on this worship experience already in progress.
Awesome. We're in a series right now called Family Matters. Everyone say Family Matters. And last week, Pastor Ryan kicked it off in week one, and he reminded us that we are formed for God's family. He said, you're formed for God's family. He reminded us of three things. First thing he said is that you are loved. He said that you're loved, not just by God, but you're loved by us. You are loved by the family of God. The second thing he reminded us is that you are wanted. God wants to spend time with you. God wants a relationship with you. As a church, as God's family, we anticipate your arrival. Like, we cannot wait to see you every single week. Third thing that he said is that you belong. You belong here in this house. You belong here in this family. It doesn't matter what your past has looked like. It doesn't matter what your family history has looked like. There is a place for you. There's a seat at the table here for you. You belong. You are loved. You are wanted. And you belong. And it's so important that we start here. Because what we're going to continue to talk about in this series, it won't make sense and we won't tie together the dots that God's trying to do in our hearts if we do not yet understand that we belong. And maybe you're still at a place where you're wrestling with this and you're like, I'm not really sure I belong. You're not really sure what my life's looked like up until this point. Let me just try to paint a picture real fast. Jesus painted this picture for us when he was on the cross. He's on the cross and he's got his mother there. And he says a disciple whom he loved was standing there next to him. And he turns to his mother and he says, Mother, he is your son. And he turns to the disciple and he says, Disciple, she is your mother. They weren't blood related. They were not family. Jesus was just painting a picture saying from here on out, if you follow Christ, you are in the family of God. Doesn't matter how long you've been following Jesus. Doesn't matter how many times you've been, you are in the family of God if you follow Jesus. So just to level the playing field, you belong. You are wanted and you are loved. And it's so vital we start there because if we do not understand that truth, that foundational truth, then the rest of what we're going to talk about will just go right over our head. So today in week two, I want to talk about how, yeah, we got a place and we belong, but we also have a part. Each and every single one of us in this room, here in Bellevue, online, we have a part in God's family. So let's just pray and let's just ask God to be here with us, and we'll continue. Father, thank you so much, God, for bringing us here today. Thank you for every single person that is here, Lord, under the sound of my voice. And I just pray that today, Lord, that you would speak to every single one of us individually, that we would leave today, Lord, knowing that we belong and knowing better our part to play in the family of God. We thank you for what you're doing in our church. God, we thank you for what you're going to do in our lives today in advance. And God, we just ask to do what only you can in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Amen. Everyone say family matters. Thinking of family, and if we can be honest, nothing screams family like a good old-fashioned potluck, right? I mean, nothing screams family like a good old-fashioned family potluck. There's two kinds of potlucks that I've learned and I've experienced in my life, okay? There's the successful one, and then there's the unsuccessful one. You know the unsuccessful one? And moms, you work hard at these ones. You send out the menu. If your last name is A through S, then you bring this. If your last name is S through Q, you're bringing like the meats. If you're like Q through Z, then you're going to bring the drinks and all that stuff. You organize that the menu is sent out. You're feeling good about yourself. And then people start walking through the door with meat and cheese trays, right? And they start showing up with like a veggie tray. Next person walks in, they got like a bag of ice, and you're like, what kind of potluck is this? This is not what we planned, right? Unsuccessful potluck, we've all been there. I've been there. You ever walked in empty-handed? Why do we always blame it on the boss, right? Pastor Kev, I've never blamed you, but why do we always blame it on the boss? Sorry, boss kept me late, couldn't make my stuff, you know what I'm saying? Like, right, and then there's a successful potluck. We just had one for a Friendsgiving on Thanksgiving with our life group. We had the Hawaiian ham. Come on, we had the mashed potatoes. We had the sweet potatoes. We had the cheesy potatoes. We had French fries because the potatoes weren't enough. We had sweet tea, unsweetened tea, every kind of LaCroix. Someone brought Big Red. You guys know about Big Red? Big Red, old school soda. It's like cough syrup and sugar. Like, that's what it tastes like. It was awesome. We had this awesome potluck. I mean, we had the full spread. Every great potluck happens because people do their part, right? Every great potluck, you don't want, the worst part about a great potluck is having to leave. I mean, you're like fighting over who gets to take what food and that kind of potluck, right? I got dibs on that, right? Some potlucks, you're like, no, we don't need the cheese and crackers. We'll be okay. But these kind of potlucks, you're like, I'll take it all home, right? A great potluck is when everyone does their part. And I think that's a picture of God's family. I think that's the desire that God has for his family, that we come together and we all play our part and we're all bringing our part and we're all doing our part. That's a picture of God's family because we all have a part to play in God's family. Maybe you didn't know that, but we all have a part to play in God's family. Ephesians chapter 2 says it like this. It says, that's plain enough, isn't it? You're no longer wandering exiles. This kingdom of faith is now your home country. You're no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here. Turn to your neighbor and say, you belong here. With as much right to the name Christian as anyone, God is building a home and he is using all of us, irrespective of how we got here and what he is building. He used the apostles and prophets for the foundation, and now he's using you, he's using me, fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds all the parts together. We see it taking place. We see it taking shape day after day. A holy temple built by God, all of us built into it, a temple in which God is quite at home. He's not just at home, he is quite at home. He wants to be there, he wants to dwell there, he wants to hang out there. He's quite at home. And this scripture tells me two things. One, we belong. Two, God is building his family, and he's building it using us. See, the family of God is built when we are building one another. This family, this is why it matters. It's built when we are building one another. And I want to talk about three chairs that we find ourselves in different seasons of our life. I want to talk about three chairs that we find ourselves in different seasons of our life. And whether you've been serving God for 20 years, or maybe this is your first time to Champion Center, can I just level the playing field for all of us right now? Reality is we are all somewhere on our journey. And wherever you are at, it's okay. But our hope is that you continue and you keep on moving forward. Wherever you're at is okay. Wherever you find yourself today in these chairs is okay. Our prayer is that you would just continue to move forward. The first chair I want to talk about, we've all been here. It's the me chair. Now, before we start thinking of someone that we know is in here, let's not forget that we all start here. For me, it was June 11th, 1990, and I popped out the womb. Came into the world. I didn't really care who was in my presence. I didn't really care what time of the day it was. If I wanted to scream, I was going to scream. If I wanted to cry, I was going to cry. If I wanted to do my business, I hope you're not in the line of fire. Like, I didn't really care, right? The me chair doesn't just stop at 2 months old, though. The me chair, it can go with us in life. The me chair often is it's the I'm gonna do me attitude. I got my plans. I'm not gonna let God's family come too close because it might bring up a conversation about changing some things about my life. Like, I have an image, I have a status, I got things going on in my world that I'm not really willing to give up yet, right? The me chair is kind of, it's just self-centered. It's not so much considerate of others, and we all start here. This is how we come to Christ, by the way. We come to Christ in the me chair. We come to Christ all about us. We come to Christ trying to figure things out, unsure, have questions. We've all been in the me chair. And as a family, let's never forget that we have people that come through our doors every single week that are still in this chair. But you know what our responsibility is to do? To love them, to care for them, to nurture them, to bring them in, to show them, to set the example for them, to have grace for them, because we've all been there. I'm so thankful for the family of God that's taken me at my mess. I'm so thankful that when I was sitting in the me chair, and I still have my me moments in life, but they still love me and they still care for me and they're still there for me and they still correct me and they still have grace for me and they still pray for me. Why does family matter? Because sometimes we're going to find ourselves in the me chair. But I'm thankful that I have a family, God's family, that takes me in as I am. But I'm even more thankful that they say, you know what, I love you too much to keep you there. Because there's something better for your life. You don't have to stay here. Like Jonathan, you can't ride in the shopping cart at 16 years old anymore. You gotta like grow up and like do, you gotta push the cart now. You gotta do your part, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, it says, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child and I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. The same way spiritually, church, when we come to God, we're sitting in this chair. We're a little bit of a mess. Pastor Kevin says we're all a little bit pitiful, right? We have questions at times. We think the world sometimes does revolve around us, and we got our questions. But it's so important that we don't stay there. There's a word in the Bible. And we've heard this word, but it's a biblical word too, and it's maturity. James 1:4 says, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Let perseverance do its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Like I said, it's okay if you're in this chair right now. But can I tell you that God's best for you is not staying in this chair. That there's better for you in your future. There's better for you when it comes to God's family. Second chair we often find ourselves in life is what we like to call the middle. Now in the middle, this is where you're mindful that there is better, but it's going to cost something. So the me chair, this is all you've known, right? But the middle, now you're mindful. You know there's better, but it's going to cost you something. What does the middle look like? It looks like you're at the potluck, one piece of pie left, and you and your cousin are sitting there, and you know you should give him the full piece, and you think you're being generous, but you're like, I'll take 60 and you take 40, okay? Like, right? There's some compromise there in the middle. I'll be a part of God's family when it's convenient. I know I should, but I'll be a part when it's convenient. In the middle, I'm friendly, but I don't really have friends. In the middle, relationships are, they're surface level. Doesn't feel authentic yet. In the middle, like relationships, it's going to require vulnerability. It's going to require some humility to get to the depth that we want. In the middle, we create confusion to all those around us because we don't really make decisions. We're kind of wishy-washy. And people are trying to figure out which direction we're going to go and what we're going to do and what we're going to say. And in the middle, it's kind of friends with benefits because the commitment side of things, it scares us a little bit. It has us hesitating a little bit, right? In the middle, we know we should commit, but it's going to cost me something. Because if I fully commit, then what am I going to have to give up? I mean, I'm speaking hypothetically right now, right? Not you, not me. But in the middle, we're mindful, but we're just unsure. And there's hesitation in the middle. Because we might have to give something up, or we might have to... Conversation might come up in a life group, or a conversation might come up while I'm serving on a team where it might require me to maybe change some things in my life and in my heart because God's trying to do more, and I know he's trying to do more, and I sit in the seats, and I feel God prompting me, and I feel God saying, take the next step, but it's going to cost me something. In the middle, it's the I'll do it tomorrow kind of mindset. I'll have another opportunity tomorrow. I'll get around to it tomorrow. It'll be important tomorrow. In the middle, we're present, but we're not very purposeful. We're showing up and we're present, but we're not being purposeful. The life and the fullness God has for his family, God has for you, it's not sitting in this chair. And I still have middle moments in my life. I still have moments where I hesitate and I'm like, this is going to cost me a lot. I still have these kind of moments, and I still have these kind of moments where me tries to rise up on the inside and my flesh tries to take over, like, man, this is going to cost a lot. Man, I don't know. I don't know if I can give up all of this, and this is what I really want to do, but this is what's being asked of me. I still have these moments too. But I've just learned that the fullness of God is not sitting in these chairs. Where God wants us to be sitting is right here. This chair is where it's at. This chair, I'm telling you, this chair is all about mission. This chair is all about mission. This chair, this is where we set aside ourselves. This chair is when I'm all in. This chair is no hesitation. This chair is like, absolutely, I'll show up, I'll be there, I'll do that, I'll leave that. Like, yes, this chair, this is where we put others before me. This chair is we bring our gift, offering it to God, not just God, but his family and serving one another. This chair is selfless. This chair is full of love. This chair says my me has to set me aside for the greater me. Because there's a greater you in your future. There's a better version of yourself in your future, but it's going to require you to be sitting in this chair. You will not experience the greater you sitting in this chair or that chair. You will experience it sitting in this chair. In this chair, this is where God's changing you, and he's prompting you, and he's creating you to be a better version of yourself, and you feel it, and you see yourself making a difference. This chair is all where the purpose is at. This chair is where God is speaking to you, and you're just, you can't get beside yourself. Where's the God? I want to be with God's family. I just want to serve. I just want to love. I just want to give of myself. This chair is God's desire where we would be sitting. And in this chair, you're still going to have those moments, though. Those moments still pop up. Those moments still creep up in our life. He lived his life on mission. And Jesus still had middle moments. And Jesus still had me moments. We see Jesus, he's in the garden, and he's talking to God, and he's praying, and he knows what's coming up. And he knows what's up ahead of him. And he says, God, like the cross, being humiliated, the pain and the suffering that I'm going to have to endure going through all of that, like, God, if there's another way, let's do that. God, if there's a plan B, if we can call plan B, let's go ahead and do that. But what does he say? He says, but not my will, setting aside me, but your will be done. But not my will. Your will be done. So just know that sitting in this chair, you're still going to have these moments. But in this chair, the prayer is, God, give me the strength to set aside myself. Give me the strength and the wisdom to set aside my preference and my opinion. Give me the strength, Lord, to continue to be to God's family what you have called me to be. Give me the strength, God. We're still going to have those moments. God's called us to sit in the mission chair. What if we were to knit, if we were to like pin that chair and say, what is that chair really all about? What is it really all about? Matthew 22:36. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor. Love God's family. Love people in your life as yourself. The two greatest days in your life are the day that you were born and the day you figure out why. Two greatest days in your life are the day that you're born and the day you figure out why. And when your why is love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, and I'm gonna love my neighbor as yourself, when your why is that, woo! What's your why? Love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all, love each other deeply. Because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another. Open up your homes to the family of God. Open up your lives to each other. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Do it cheerfully. Do it because you want to. Do it because it's what God's called us to do. Each of you should use whatever gift that you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Above all, love each other. Love one another. I never want to leave that chair. And I think it's important as a church that we make our ways to this chair every single day that we wake up. It's important because it's bigger than just us loving one another. It's bigger than just us coming in and joining together every single week. It's bigger than that. Jesus said this. He said, by this, he said in John 1:35, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. He follows it with a statement. He says, by what I'm about to tell you, the world is going to know that you're the family of God. The world is going to know that you're my disciples. The world's going to know that you're following Jesus. By what I'm about to tell you right now, so I could imagine everyone tuning their ears in. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. If you love one another, if you love one another, us loving each other, it's not just about us. I think we're the city on the hill that Jesus talks about in Matthew 5. I think we turn into that when we love one another. Why? Because we will be the most attractional, inviting place on the planet. And people will not be able to resist coming to the family of God because we will love one another. Because we love one another. I think it's the greatest invitation that we could give the world. Is to be a family that loves one another. What's my part to play? Love God, love one another. Love God, love one another. When God's family is loving one another, when God's family is healthy, it is irresistible to the world. We go back to week one. You are loved, you are wanted, and you belong. What do people want? A place to belong. What do they want to feel? They want to feel love. What do they want to know? They want to know they're wanted. What can we do as a church for those coming through our doors week in and week out? We can love one another, and then when they come in, we will love them even though they're in the me chair and even though they're having their moments, even though they're in the middle, but eventually we're going to be here on mission. Love one another. Love one another. Your function in the family, what we do every single week, it matters. It absolutely matters. And can I just say that our love to the world will only shine as bright as the love that we have for one another. Our love out there to the world will only shine as bright as the love that we have for one another. Why don't you just turn to your neighbor and say, I love you. It's probably awkward the first time. It was awkward the first time you told your girlfriend you loved her too. Love one another. Your function in this family, it matters. The love that we show one another, it matters. The help that we give one another, it matters. What we cover for one another, it matters. How we serve one another, it matters. Not giving up on each other, it matters. Our prayers that we have for one another, it matters. The grace that we have for one another, it matters. The words we speak to each other, it matters. Your function in this family is vital. It is important. It is urgent. Church, it is so crucial. It is so crucial. It is so crucial that we find our way to this chair. It's so important that we find our way to this chair. Wherever you're at, it's okay. We're all somewhere. But just take the next step. Just keep moving forward. Just come on mission with us. Because that chair is fun. It's fun. It's fulfilling. It's full of purpose. It's full of relationships that you didn't know that you needed in your life that have depth and meaning and authenticity and good conversation. It has all of these things that we're looking for. You're making a difference in that chair. I just want to close it out and read the scripture that I started with. God is building a home and he's using all of us. Irrespective of how we got here and what he is building, he used the apostles and prophets for the foundation, and now he's using you. He's using me. And he's fitting us in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds all the parts. God's holding us together as a family. We see it taking shape day after day, a holy temple built by God. All of us built into it. You're built into this family. A temple in which God is quite at home. When I think of cried in the shower this morning. I never cry in the shower. It's a weird feeling. You got warm water already on your face, and now you got warm tears. It's weird. I don't know why I'm telling you this, but I'm just getting ready for today, and I just kind of felt like God asked me this question: where would you be without God's family? You know, where would we be without God's grace? But where would you be without God's family? And I'm just saying, when you plug into God's family, when you get a part of God's family, when you do your part in God's family, you'll look back and you'll say, where would I be? Man, the seasons of my life where I look down the rows and I just see the people that called and encouraged, that prayed, put their arms around me when I didn't know what I was doing. Still. Like, family matters. And your role in the family matters. And if you've been serving Jesus for 20 years, your mission's not over. Family matters. There's a whole lot of people that are like me that sometimes have our arms up in the air and we're like, God, what do I do? Where do I go? What does following you look like? A lot of first-generation Christians that are here, if you've been serving Jesus for 20 years, it might look different in this season of your life, but can I just say, your mission might be just to go around a young person, put your arm around them and say, I love you, let's walk this thing out, I got you, I'm going to pray for you, I'm going to call you, like I'm going to be there for you. Maybe that's the role in the family for you. Maybe you're a young person and you're like, I don't really know what I'm doing. Guys, all the young people in here, we don't know what we're doing, okay? We don't. We need each other. We need this family. We need the wisdom and experience of others. Go find somebody and shake their hand and say, walk with me. Show me. Family matters. Family matters. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you're here and you're saying, you know what? I see the next step that I need to take. Maybe there's parts of your life that are on mission, but there's parts that are stuck in the middle. Maybe it's your first time here and you're saying, man, I've kind of been about me right now. I've kind of been about me. And I just want to take the next step, because wherever we're at, it's okay, but let's just keep moving forward. And maybe you're saying, I know what my next step is. I need to plug into family more. I've been feeling God just stir some things in my heart. And I just want to take that next step. No one looking around, and you're just saying, I just want to keep moving forward. I just want to keep moving forward. On the count of three, lift your hand. I just want to pray for you. 1, 2, 3, just lift your hand right where you're at. Awesome. Awesome. Wherever you're at, it's okay. We're just going to keep moving forward together. Awesome. Awesome. Father God, thank you so much. Thank you so much for every single person that is here, Lord. Thank you for the people, Lord, that recognize, Lord, God, that there's a next step, Lord, that there's a place that you are taking them. God, that there is a mission on their life, that they have a part to play, that it's more than just showing up, that it's more than just attending like we say, Lord, but this is a place to belong, in a place where we can play our part, Lord, and help us to love one another as your family, Lord, because we know that when we love one another, Lord, that the world will know that we are your disciples, that we are the family of God, and we will be the city on the hill, Lord, and we will be the most attractional, invitational place where people can find their place fit. So God, I pray that you give them strength. I pray that you just give them a special grace to step into this next season of their life, Lord, and every single day as a church family, Lord, we choose to move from me to middle to mission, Lord. Every single day, help us to be mission-minded. Help us to remember that there's a purpose on our life. Help us to remember that when we gather, it matters. It's important. It is vital, and we all have a part to play. We all have a part to play. In Jesus' name, no one looking around. Maybe you're here, and you're just saying, I need a new beginning in my life. In my relationship with God, I've never had one. And I've never asked him to come into my life, and I've never asked him to be leader. And Lord, can I tell you it's the best life? Can I tell you it's the life that you've been looking for? Maybe you've been here and you've lived on mission once, but you've kind of jumped back to me, and you've kind of jumped back to middle, and you're saying, I need to recommit. I need to get back on track. I need to get my life right again. And I need to all over again commit my life to God, to his family, to his plan. Then we're going to say a prayer together right now. And I want to know who I'm praying with. And this prayer is really why we do what we do as a church. This is probably the most important part of our service. We love this moment. And there's people that are praying for you right now. And you might feel God stirring something in your heart. And you're saying, you know what, I'm ready. I'm ready to make this decision to follow Jesus. I'm ready to make this decision and ask God for a new beginning and for salvation to come to my life. No one looking around. 1, 2, 3. I just want to know who I'm praying for. Just lift your hand right where you're at. I just want to know. Awesome. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Out of a sign of support, we're going to say this prayer together. Just repeat after me. Everyone say, Lord Jesus, I ask you today to come into my heart, to come into my life, and forgive me of all my sin. From this day forward, I give my life to you. I live my life on mission. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Can we give it up for everyone that just made that decision? Awesome.
Thank you for listening today. We hope that you enjoyed today's teaching. If you'd like to help support this podcast, give today and help spread messages all over the world. Download our app and select give or go to cc.church/give. Thanks and have a great week.